This is Radio X. Across Brussels and beyond. Expressing city life in the English language. Radio X.
This is Owen Stafford for Radio X. I'm at the Square in Brussels. Fantastic venue right in the heart of the downtown area of the city. And we are at the Cable Congress for 2015. One of the moderators here today is the BBC World News anchor, Babita Sharma, who has very kindly taken time out of her very hectic schedule here today to speak to me and to you, the listener. So, Babita, thank you very much, first of all, for agreeing to speak to us.
You're welcome. You're interrupting my Twix and coffee break here.
I know, yeah, that's why I feel so guilty about it, you know.
10 minutes that we have.
10 minutes. Okay, well, we'll get through it as soon as we can for you so you can get back to your Twix and tea. So
we should say that other chocolates are available, shouldn't we?
We should probably say other chocolates, yeah, because Twix will be very pleased with us then, won't they? Yeah. We'll see. I can edit that out. But anyway.
No, don't edit it.
Okay, I'll leave it so.
Leave it in. In fact, I don't want you to edit it. I'm going to listen back and I don't want you to edit it.
Okay, so promise. You're going to be obviously covering the very important year, the UK elections, taking place in May. With regards to your presentation of it to the international audience, how do you make it relevant to people from outside the UK as opposed to a domestic audience?
Yeah, it's a good question, isn't it? Because whenever we think about elections that are taking place around the world, wherever you are in the world, you might think that your election is the most important. But the world is a big place. Lots of people are voting in all sorts of countries outside of the UK. But when you are in London, and I was born and brought up in England, so it's an election that I will be voting in, and the issues are important to me. But when you think about it in a journalist, in terms of what we do on BBC World News, we have to take into account that other people from other parts of the world will be looking at this and how we make those issues relevant to them. Or the UK electorate will be thinking about. And the only example I can give to you is to perhaps remember the fact that I was covering the India elections in 2014, which were historic. It saw the end of the Congress party and the introduction of Prime Minister Narendra Modi, which was a big moment for India. But when I was covering the elections in Delhi, I remember thinking, how can I make this exciting as it felt to the Indians that we were interviewing, but how can we make it as exciting for an international audience? And actually, when you look at elections, there is a similarity in the themes that come up. Very much we always talk about the economy. That was the case in India. It's the case now when we look at the UK elections coming up, particularly when we look at the Eurozone crisis in Greece and the pound for the UK and what the economy is doing in terms of GDP growth. That is always an election issue. Immigration is an issue in the UK, and I think that's going to be a big one that comes up in the elections. And also, again, people have... internationally, immigration is a big issue, no matter where you are in the world. In Asia, we've been covering a lot of stories on BBC World News talking about immigration, particularly the problem of asylum seekers losing their lives in Australia, for example, trying to get asylum or seek asylum in Australia. We did a big story on that regarding the detention of asylum seekers in Manus Island, which is in Papua New Guinea. So immigration can correlate wherever you are in the world, and those are the sorts of issues that we try and pick out, knit together, and try and explain to an audience that, okay, this might be an election issue in the UK, but it is very much relevant to you wherever you are. Mm-hmm.
And that just ties into the question too that I was going to ask about the role of the media, and especially when it comes to elections, to engage and inform the audience and the potential voters.
As the BBC, it's very important that we don't try to influence the voter. What our job is, and what my job is to get the information out there, to tell people that this is what the politicians are saying, and then they go away and then make their minds up about it. But the media, as always, plays a fascinating role at election time. Particularly, there is a debate at the moment going on regarding whether or not the Prime Minister and the opposition parties are taking part in these televised debates. It's ongoing. Those televised debates are taking place. Who's going to be in the chairs? I don't know. We will wait and find out. But that is just one example of how that takes place on the platform of television. But of course, we are in a digital world now, aren't we?
Yes.
And when we look at, I mean, you know, the BBC World News Facebook page has got over 20 million followers. And we're very much using that to engage with not only what news we're putting out there and what our viewers think about it, but also I'm sure politicians and political parties are using social media, whether it be Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, to get their message out there. So the media role has really changed. And it's also very immediate now. out and very personal. You know, you can just get in touch with anybody these days and tweet them. Hopefully they'll tweet you back. But that, again, is another form of communication that's really changing how online TV and radio are interacting as well.
And especially when you look at elections of yesteryear, how far things have come. But I was reading an article recently about politics in America and political campaigns, elections over there compared to the UK, and how things are arguably, some might say, more sane in the UK, maybe in the US more exciting, but nonetheless because of the money that's spent on campaigns over there in the States compared to the UK, where there's a cap.
I don't know, do you think they're more sane?
Personally, I should really be impartial, but I do find them, I love political campaigns anyway, be it in Ireland, where I'm from, be it Britain, which I have always paid attention to, be it the States, where I've always paid attention to, but personally, I would find, because there's just so much money and there's so much advertising, it can be a bit of a turnoff.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. If anybody has been in America during election time, it is the money and the spin and the adverts, and it's just everywhere, isn't it? And actually, it starts, what, a year, 2 years beforehand? Mm-hmm. So we've got a US election coming up next year, haven't we? And we'll start to see the machine, the PR machine driving for all the political parties in America. I take your point. It's probably not to that extreme in the UK. But even when I think about India and the lead up to that, there was a great deal of excitement and a conversation about the elections way before they happened. And again, that was kind of being played out on social media. And also, the politicians really embraced the fact that they had a lot of money behind them this time around, particularly with Modi. And we look at his campaign and how he ran that. He was really on the pulse when it came to exploiting the media and how he could get his message out there. I'm not saying that's necessarily why he won, but he's very savvy about doing it with his team.
And how were the campaigns over in India, just for those that might not know a lot about it? Did it more resemble a UK election campaign or a US style one?
It's a good question, because Narendra Modi and the BJP party were criticised for being too American in the way that they were running the elections. It's not the way India were used to seeing them. It's not the way Congress had conventionally done things. So let's just say that if there's a model in your mind or in the listener's mind that they think that the UK does one thing and America's very extreme with lots of, you know, propaganda and shouting very loud and adverts, India was in between the two. Mm-hmm. It was still trying to kind of find its feet, but suddenly they had this injection of cash because people felt that the wind of change was behind them and they wanted to get their voices heard. Also as well, I'd say that a lot of youngsters got galvanized during the India election, so that really changed how people were talking about it in terms of the media and social media and getting those kind of buzzwords out there. God, it's all on trend, isn't it, when we talk about digital platforms and all the rest of it. But I think when you look at the conventionality of the UK elections or the US elections, I'd say India was going more towards the American elections, but nowhere near how we see them in the States today.
Do you believe that the role of social media has increased the engagement of the youth in politics, given that in the last EU elections there was it was spoken about trying to get the youth on board, yet so few of them voted? And the politicians, of course, will still seek the grey vote, who may not be as into the whole online media, social media aspect of campaigns. So do you think social media is serving its purpose in terms of encouraging the youth to get involved?
Do you know, I think they're still collating data on how effective social media is in an election forum. I know they've been doing that in India and poring over the numbers and in other countries as well. But to ignore social media is at your peril, I would say. And I think that all politicians and political parties are aware that they have to. They absolutely have to be in that space. Because if you're not, then how else are you connecting to youngsters today? Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. I mean, that's what everybody is talking about. Whether or not that means that in real terms, people then go to the election booth if they're younger and vote, I don't know. But you've got to be on there and present to get your message across, or at least try.
And you can hear the feature in full by visiting the Listen Again page at radiox.eu.
This is Radio X.